Good afternoon. Can everybody hear me? Okay. So at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, we analyzed the incidence of infectious syphilis and economic disparities by census tract poverty level. There was an eightfold increase in infectious syphilis, primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis from 2001 to 2013, and that's why I picked this time period to look more closely at. And there were some previous analyses in Massachusetts on economic disparities and HIV and AIDS, and we relied on methods developed for those projects. Our data sources included syphilis cases diagnosed in Massachusetts that were in our database, our STD database. We used STD-MIS at that time. And the U.S. Census, population counts by census tract, and census tract poverty level. I geocoded the addresses of the syphilis patients using ArcGIS and stratified results by age, sex, race, and ethnicity, and we looked at trends over time. So over those 13 years, there were over 4,400 cases of infectious syphilis. I was unable to geocode 5% of the cases. I excluded homeless patients, incarcerated patients, people live in congregate living facilities like college dorms. A small number of the cases were missing a street address, and then there were some street addresses that were complete on our case report forms, but they were not yet in ArcGIS, so they couldn't be geocoded. But overall, I was able to geocode 95% of the cases. So for the next few slides, I'm going to show information about the entire 13-year time period. This one shows syphilis incidence by race, ethnicity. So you'll see the incidence rate for African Americans was greater than that for Hispanics, which was greater than that for white residents of Massachusetts. The population numbers are using the 2010 census data. And this one shows syphilis incidence by census tract poverty level. So if you look down the column that says people living below the poverty level, at the bottom, 40 to 100 means 40 to 100% of the residents in those census tracts lived below the poverty level. So those are the poorest census tracts. And up above, 0 to 4.9 is 0 to 4.9% of the residents of those census tracts lived below the poverty level. So those are the most affluent neighborhoods. And the incidence rate increases with increasing poverty as you look down that column. And for this slide also, the population is based on 2010. I multiplied by 13 per person time to get the incidence rate. So most of the cases were between the ages of 25 to 44, and of those, the syphilis rate was highest in the poorest census tracts. As you can see, the vast majority were among men, and again, the incidence rate was highest in the poorest census tracts. And we had the biggest numbers in terms of race, ethnicity. The biggest numbers were among Black, Hispanic, and white residents, and in each of those groups, the incidence rate was highest in the poorest census tracts. The poorest census tracts are Black, the Black line here. And the most affluent neighborhoods are the lightest color green. So this is the most important take-home message from this presentation, I think, is this chart. And it shows the trends over time. So if you look over at 2001, all the way in the end, the economic disparity was actually pretty small. The number of syphilis cases was also a lot smaller then. But the black line is the poorest census tract, the lightest green is the most affluent, and over time you can see these lines are pulling apart from each other and the economic disparity is growing. The big spike in the black line at the top between 2010 and 2012 was related to one particular county. We had a 280% increase in syphilis in two cities in that county during that time period. But even if you smooth out that line, there's still an increase in the poorest census tracts, and the slope of these lines increases with increasing poverty too. So I calculated rate ratios. The 2001 incidence rate relies on year 2000 census data, and as you go down that column, you'll see that the rate increases with increasing poverty. The 2013 incidence rate used the 2010 census, and that also increases with increasing poverty. The rate ratios are bigger in the more affluent neighborhoods because the incidence rate was so small to start with there. And this one shows year by year what was happening within each of these three racial and ethnic groups, Black, Hispanic, and white. And you can see by looking at it year by year that the biggest changes were after 2010. And the incidence rate was highest in those years among Black residents. So the disparities in summary were small in 2010. The numbers were also small. Syphilis incidence has increased across the board in all census tract groups during this time, but the disparity also increased over time, and the largest disparities have happened since 2010. As far as limitations, I think misclassification of race, ethnicity, age, or address, they're all unlikely because with syphilis, we have disease intervention specialists on staff who interview every case of infectious syphilis. So our information is pretty complete and accurate compared to our other STDs. However, one limitation is that, except for that rate ratio slide, the 2010 census was used for the denominators in this analysis. So if there were changes over time in the population of the census counts or the poverty levels of different census tracts, those changes over time may not be well represented in this data. I'm also curious if there was an impact of the recession during this time period on population within the census tracts or poverty within the census tracts. So as a next step, I think it would be interesting to estimate population denominators between census years. Also to do an age standardization because the risk for disease may have a different age structure than the age structure of the census tract groups. And it's possible that there's even a greater disparity than what we see here. I'd also like to apply this methodology to other diseases, including tuberculosis. I want to thank my co-authors, Evan Caton, Kathy Hsu, and Aldi Maria, my bureau director, Kevin Cranston. I want to thank Sally Zierler and Nancy Krieger, who did more than 10 years ago an analysis on economic disparities and AIDS in Massachusetts. And a group of colleagues who updated that analysis last year and presented at CSC because we relied heavily on their methodology. Any questions?
Any questions first specifically for this, for Laura, for this presentation?
You just mentioned that EO had a large increase in two of the counties, and I just wondered if you had investigated the reasons for those.
So partly that county had in a very urban area, and that area had a lower syphilis rate than some of the other urban areas in the state, so they were catching up, and then they even kind of surpassed some of the other urban areas. And we went in and met with stakeholders over a period of a year and a half or so to talk more about what was going on and what we could do about it. And, you know, shared with them some maps by zip code of where exactly this was happening. There were a few zip codes that were especially affected. And, you know, there were a lot of providers in the group who had known this was happening, and they had some ideas about why, including smartphone apps, like Dr. De Silva mentioned, became more prevalent in that area during that time period as smartphones became a lot cheaper and more accessible to lower income people. They were able to have more sex partners anonymously. So that was one of the theories. And the group was really instrumental in coming up with an intervention to try to decrease syphilis in that geographic area.
Well, most of your increase both began among MSM as an organization. So why didn't you mention that? Could that be a kind of specialized prevention
method? Yeah, most of the increases were among MSM. And the risk behavior, it was in our data set. We didn't incorporate it into this analysis because We didn't have a denominator that we really trusted on number of MSM in the population. We had some estimates from various sources, but it just didn't seem as reliable as the census tract, U.S. Census information that we wanted to use for this. But that was definitely part of our intervention in that county where we met with the stakeholders as far as who to target and how to bring the rates down. The campaign that we did was targeted at MSM.
Just sort of dovetail question from Doug's there. From what we've seen nationally in general, that's such an interesting observation, the trend in both females, the gradient in poverty rates increasing among both men and women for syphilis, given the concentration of MSM. I was surprised to see that, in that it's, from other things I've seen, there isn't as strong a gradient in among MSM poverty and STDs, but that showed it. Any thoughts on that, or it looks like it was simply not the case here, that there was that gradient very similar among males and females, and suggesting that gay men that live in poorer communities are at higher risk for syphilis?
Almost all our cases are among MSM. I mean, there weren't that many females at all.
But I'm just looking at the gradient.
Yep. So can you say it again?
I was surprised to see such a strong gradient for males compared to the gradient for females, given kind of a number of factors related to MSM communities and partnering. But, I mean, those are the data.
Yeah, I mean, one of our theories was that more people in poorer neighborhoods were using smartphone apps. And having more anonymous sex. So the poor neighborhoods were more affected lately than they were in the past.